I'm a soldier for Christ.
I'm a soldier for Christ.
I'm a soldier.
No, they'll never take us under, because we're bringing truth like thunder. Raining on your speakers like a ton of bricks. Hold the cross high, cause we're Catholics. Fight the good fight with the truth. Stand tall with the truth. I'm a warrior for Christ. I'm in love with the truth. Love God, save souls, slay error.
Go stronger.
Holy Hour of Power. So what does COVID stand for? Christ over viruses, infections, and diseases.
Amen.
Terry, we're reporting for duty. Are you on duty, my friend?
I'm on duty, sir. I'm back. I had a great day yesterday. I'm going to tell the folks a little bit about what went on yesterday. Amazing day of grace in my life, and I'll share it a little bit later. But today's show, Jesse, we've got so many good things to have to say, to talk about. The hand of God or the hand of man, coronavirus quarantine, how you can make the best of it. You know, we got so much today that I think will inspire you. Also, we're going to talk a little bit about Our Lady and the roles that she plays and how many people are petitioning the Holy Father for a new title for Mary as a mother, especially declared as Mary as spiritual mother. So this is going to be a great show. But Jess, I love being back. I love starting this show every time with the gospel because, you know, there's nothing higher than teachings of Christ through his good news we call the gospel.
Highest source document.
Yep.
Speak, Lord, your servants are listening.
Yep.
John chapter 3, verses 7 to 15. And it goes like this. Jesus said to Nicodemus, by the way, Nicodemus was a closet follower of Christ. He was a Pharisee. You must be born from above.
Mm-hmm.
The wind blows where it wills, and you can hear the sound it makes, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said to him, "How can this happen?" Jesus answered him and said to him, "You are the teacher of Israel, and you do not understand this? Amen, amen, I say to you, we speak of what we know, and we testify to what we have seen. But you people do not accept our testimony. If I tell you about earthly things and you do not believe, how will you believe if I tell you about heavenly things?
Mm.
No one has gone up to heaven except the one who has come down from heaven, the Son of Man. And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the desert, so must the Son of Man be lifted up so that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life." The gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Wow, I love it.
The Catholic Church has codified and canonized only a few verses and given them their definitive interpretation. A lot of people think that the Catholic Church has made a comment on every verse of Scripture. No, they haven't. In fact, the Catholic Church officially hasn't commented on most of Scripture.
Right.
Very few verses have been commented on. This chapter is one of the dogmatic commentaries by the Council of Trent. It's found in the book, in Denzinger's book of the Church's Doctrinal and Dogmatic Teachings. And the Church says that John chapter 3, verses 1 to 15, this whole discourse with Nicodemus, this being born of above, born of the Spirit, born of water, this is a reference to the sacrament of baptism. So this is an infallible interpretation from the Council of Trent. There isn't another interpretation. This is not talking about, you know, a baby being born in the mother's amniotic fluid. The interpretation of yesterday and today's gospel is to be born again, born of the Spirit, born from above, you have to be sacramentally baptized. That's why as Catholics, we make a big thing about the necessity of baptism because Jesus did. And also, I know there's kind of a debate about people. We know that there's two Old Testament prophets that were taken into the presence of God, Enoch and Elijah, body and soul, kind of a pre-assumption Old Testament saints. So where are they at now? The fathers of the church say they're in some sort of presence with God, but they don't have the face-to-face vision yet because they haven't experienced bodily death. And in fact, Jesus Christ ascertains that Elijah and Enoch, though they've been taken in the presence of God, body and soul, they're not in the beatific vision because Jesus says here, no one has gone up to heaven except the one who has come down from heaven, the Son of Man. So again, Enoch and Elijah are in some type of presence in the cosmos, in the heavenly places, but not in the beatific vision. And finally, it ends. Our Lord ends here by telling us that salvation is going to happen through Christ being hung on the cross, much like the serpent in the desert that was lifted up on a pole at the time of Moses. This is what's going to draw the human race to God, is those who believe that the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, that Paschal mystery, is what won our salvation. In fact, St. Paul, when he was asked, what do you preach? He wasn't preaching, Pentecostal hallelujahs. He was preaching, I preach Christ crucified, which is folly to the Jews and foolishness to the Gentiles. Terry?
Yes, I'm just saying, preach it, brother. Amen to all of that. Let's bring the smartest guy into the room right now, and that full sheen ahead. Yes, this fits into one of our topics today when we talk about this coronavirus and how we're having to stay at home. Here's what Bishop Sheen has to say. The modern man has more leisure than the men of a century ago, but he knows less to what to do with it. Yeah, that's true, because what we do a lot of times is we waste time and we don't take advantage of that. Jess, I'm going to let the cat out of the bag right now, brother. Yesterday, I spent about 30 miles of driving my little rhino up and down a mountain, taking people, especially the bishop of Los Angeles, the auxiliary bishop, Bishop O'Connell, up to this mountain. If you can see, I crashed, but I didn't have the bishop on the rhino when I crashed. I had a little fall, but everything's good. And when we went up there, the purpose of it was we were going to. I asked the bishop to do something very, very proactive, to go up to the highest point of the San Gabriel Mountains there, and bless with the Blessed Sacrament, do a benediction to the four corners of Orange County, L.A. County, and San Bernardino. That's about 15 million people, about half the number of people living in Canada. He blessed with the Blessed Sacrament. So I have pictures. I have drones up in the air taking pictures of all of this, and it's going to be available tomorrow on our website and throughout. We're going to be promoting this to say, ask your bishop to do something like that. Take Jesus out onto the streets. Take Jesus on top of a mountain and bless the people. And Jesse, I've got to tell you, Eddie was there. Many of us, we had to keep it under 10, but we did the social distancing. But the point of it was the bishop did some power preaching, and we were able to bless so many millions of people from atop that mountain. And you'll see my little interview when it comes out about the real presence of Christ in the Eucharist. I said, so many Catholics don't believe anymore. We need to show people the real presence and get people excited about Jesus. Because guess what, Jess? The churches are going to be opened up most likely here in L.A. on the 15th of May. But you know what? If people believe that Jesus Christ is just a symbol in the Eucharist, why come back? But we need to teach them that it's the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Jesus Christ and what happens at Mass so that they actually know it and they want to come back. And this is something that the bishop did last night, and I hope and pray that other bishops around the country will do likewise, rather than, and I'm going to say it, staying behind doors. This is taking Christ out to the people. And I'm telling you, when you see the video footage of people down on their knees, I had a seminarian there serving at the altar there. I'm telling you, Jess, it was out of my 40 years of being in evangelization, this is one of the most powerful experiences I have had with the Blessed Sacrament on top of a mountain. And I just wanted to share that. And folks, you'll hear about it tomorrow when we do the news release, and you'll see all the video footage of it all. It was worth the sacrifice. Yesterday, we spent the whole day working on this. And thank you, Jesus. If one soul is touched from this, it was worth all of it. And Jesse, just to mention also, Dr. Louis Sandoval, your good friend who worked on the Spiritual Warfare Conference, this Saturday, we're doing a live stream conference at Saturday the 25th from 9 a.m. to 3. I'll be there. But Dr. Lewis is going to be talking on mental illness versus demonic influence. He's going to be talking about all the mental problems people have in our culture and having a spiritual side of it also, and a spiritual warfare side. Jesse, I think Dr. Louis Sandoval is well equipped to help people, and they're going to be able to ask questions right online while they're watching it. Now, you can watch it on YouTube. You can see it with our app, because we're going to be streaming this Saturday, and I just want to encourage people. We're not charging, but if anybody wants to make a donation to help with the cost of putting this together, they can go to virginmostpowerfulradio.org or call 877-526-215, and I hope to see you there.
Terry, I'm going to give you an example of like people that really believe in the real presence
Tell me.
Of Christ. I just got off, I just did an interview with LifeSite News
Good.
With Don Henry Weston.
Good.
And you know what he does every day?
No.
Every single day, him and his wife and his kids, they drive their van. I think he's got like 8 kids or something like that. Mm-hmm. They drive their van and they go park in the parking lot of the Catholic Church. And in the car, they enter into adoration. He says,
awesome.
The only thing that keeps me away is a wall. Jesus is inside, and I know that.
Yeah.
And so this is the man
that's awesome.
That's taking his family, and he's showing them, even though these churches are locked up where we're at, they're locked up, lock and key.
Yep.
He says he's inside. Right. He's the prisoner of love, and we're going to go and honor him by spending a couple of minutes
Beautiful.
In the parking lot and praying to Jesus, even if it's between walls, like a family. That's faith.
That is faith. Wow, I love hearing that. When we come back from the break, Jess, we're going to be talking about the hand of God or the hand of man. And this is an interesting show, an interesting topic, because I really think this is tied into modernism. Yes, the French Revolution, it's all there when we leave God out of the equation. You're listening to the Terry and Jesse Show. Yes, we're too blessed to be stressed. We're too anointed to be disappointed. And if hope was money, both of us would be millionaires. We're excited to be here with you, our listener. Thank you again for taking some time with us. We hope to help you get closer to Jesus Christ and his bride, the church, and get to heaven. That's what we're all about. We'll be right back. This is Terry Barber. I want to thank you for supporting Virgin Most Powerful Radio. And here's an easy way to support us by going to smile.amazon.com and type in Catholic Resource Center or Virgin Most Powerful Radio. And when you log in your Amazon account and you purchase products, a portion of it will go right back in supporting Virgin Most Powerful Radio. And it doesn't cost you a dime. I want to thank you ahead of time because that supports us year-round. May God bless you and your family. This is Terry Barber. I want to thank you for your support here at Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Here's an easy way to do it. If you're going to sell or buy a house, call Real Estate for Life, 877-543-3871, because they're going to get you a Christ-centered agent to purchase your home or to sell your home. And at the close of escrow, a portion of his commission goes right back to Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Call 877-543-3871. Thank you so much for your support.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
Two Catholic men in love with the Lord Jesus Christ and Our Lady reporting for duty to the Catholic Church.
Amen.
Robert de Matteis is one of the most respected historians in the church today.
Yep.
He writes an article called The Hand of God and the Hand of Men. Look at some of the things that he says here. He says, confusion dominates because no one's able to truly say exactly what has happened, where the coronavirus came from, when it will end, and how it should be confronted. What is certain, however, is that against this background, there's two cities that continue to fight in history. The city of God and the city of the devil.
Simple.
And their aim is to annihilate each other.
Yep.
They are the two cities that St. Augustine speaks of. He says, quote, one is a society of devoted men, the other of rebels. Each one has its own angels. In the first city, the love of God is superior. And in the other, the love of self, close quote. So de Matteis says that this mortal battle was evoked with efficacious words by Pope Pius XII in a discourse that he gave to the men of the Catholic Action on October 12, 1952.
Yep.
He said, let me get the meat of it. He said, he is an enemy who has become ever more concrete with a ruthlessness that still leaves people astonished. Christ, yes. Church, no. He's talking about the enemy.
Yep.
Okay. Then God, yes. Christ, no. That's the enemy. And finally, his full cry, God is dead. And even, God never existed. And behold the attempt to structure the world on the foundations that we do not hesitate to point out as the principal things responsible for the threat that is incumbent on humanity. An economy without God, a law without God, a political system without God. Then the Pope says, the school of revolutionary thought gave this school the name of revolution. So Pope Pius XII is telling us that this craziness that we're living in is a result of the Enlightenment French Revolution.
You got it.
That gave us liberalism,
yep,
masonry, communism, socialism, and modernism. And they're all part of the city of men, as St. Augustine says. They're part of the enemy city. And Pope Pius XII talks about these revolutionaries that we're up against.
That's right.
He says, the school of counter-revolutionary thought gave this school the name of revolution, referring to the teaching of the popes, a historical process lasting over many centuries that has as its goal the destruction of the Catholic Church and Christian civilization. The revolution has its agents, all of the secret forces that work in both a public and a hidden manner for this end. The counter-revolutionaries are those who oppose themselves against this process of dissolution. That's us, Terry and myself,
yeah.
Virgin Most Powerful Audience.
Yep.
We oppose this. We're the counter-revolutionaries because we oppose ourselves against this revolutionary process of dissolution, and we fight for the restoration of Christian civilization. The only civilization worthy of the name, as Pope St. Pius X recalls. Terry?
Jesse, I just want to ask people to read the document on our website. It's a sign that you can sign for the modernism oath that came out in 1907. And ask yourself, is modernism alive and well? Absolutely. That's why we put it on our website. But Jess, this clash, this article points out, between the revolutionaries and the counter-revolutionaries continues in the age of the coronavirus. It is logical that each of these seek to draw out the maximum advantage from the new situation. The existence of disturbing revolutionary maneuvers seeking to profit from these events does not, however, mean that these forces create the situation in which we find ourselves, in which they control and direct it. The representatives of the most diverse governments, from China to the United States, from Great Britain to Germany to Hungary to Italy, guess what? They've all imposed on the nations the same health measures, such as quarantine, which some of them initially mistrusted. Would these political leaders really allow themselves to be dominated by a health dictatorship imposed on them? Huh? Would you think? By a virus?
Virologist.
Well, in turn, who is the beginning were divided because some of them considered the coronavirus only a bad influenza, were assaulted by the reality, and today all are in agreement with the necessity of more dramatic measures in order to contain the virus. The truth is that the medical science has revealed itself as being incapable of eradicating a virus.
I like that sentence.
I'll repeat it.
Yeah.
The truth is that the medical science has revealed itself as being incapable of eradicating the virus. The choice to impose quarantine, the same choice that has been made for millennia in the face of grave epidemic problems, is born from the common sense, not from their specific medical competence. Jesse, I just have to add something to this article. Today, this morning, I was at the doctor's for my arm, UCLA graduate. He tells me, the UCLA came out and pointed out about the coronavirus. I know people can get mad at me, Jesse, but the statistics that they were showing is about the same death rate that the flu has, the regular flu. And Jesse, can I tell you right now, that's with healthy people. I'm just saying, healthy people don't die in most cases, 99% or more from this virus. I just wanted to put that into the article, even though it was not there. Continue, Jess.
The problem naturally is not only the many health concerns, but also the economic and social consequences that the virus can have in our interconnected society. My comment, a lot of people, there's more suicide right now. There's more drinking.
Big
there's
time.
More alcohol usage. There's more depression.
That's right.
There's more anxieties, Terry. So it's causing other problems that also lead to death. The article says, the quarantine, by these medical dictators. I mean, at this point, that's what I'm calling them because they're running the country.
Oh yeah,
and again, amongst the medical community, there's not an agreement. The ones that are paid by the government, they'll say, quarantine, lock it up. And the people that are just independent doctors and doing their own podcast are saying,
nope.
No,
that's right.
This is not the way to handle this.
Right.
Yes. You know, wash your hands, you know, and don't cough on people. Yes, we've always known that.
Yeah.
But you have independent doctors. Dr. Oz, for example, the doctors that are on TV. Who's the other doctor? Donahue?
Donahue, yeah.
They're saying, yes, this is an overreaction. So the article goes on. But the solution to these sorts of problems that are getting worse throughout the world belongs to politicians, not doctors. And if the international political class hides behind the screen of health officials in order to make its decisions, that is because of the inadequacy of those who govern the world today. The political failure parallels the health failure. How can we forget that the Supreme International Health Authority, the World Health Organization, announced 30 years ago, quote, a world without epidemics, close quote, thanks to its project called, quote, Health for Everyone before the year 2000, close quote. What a joke, Terry. What an absolute joke. Because with the consequence that in many countries, the funds dedicated to health were cut or dedicated primarily to rare diseases. And so the director of the World Health Organization, Tedros Ghebreyesus, who was politically close to China, to communist China, went to Beijing on January 28, 2020. And after a meeting with the communist president, Xi Jinping, he told the world that everything in Wuhan, hey, it's under control.
Yeah, right.
Minimizing the extent of the catastrophe. Only after many, many hesitations did the World Health Organization acknowledge the reality while continuing to lie about the number of people infected and the number of deaths caused by it, which were certainly not overestimated, but rather were underestimated.
Yep.
He's talking about over in China,
yep,
where it actually this actually came from. Terry?
Yeah, and Jesse, just a quick note. China last week came out and said, maybe we were off. Maybe it was double the amount, but I don't even believe that. But you see what's happening, Jesse, is the pressure that's being put. And I have to put credit to President Trump, Jesse. I'm going to say that because he's pushing to say, wait a minute, China? No.
He's pushing back,
and I'm glad he is.
For us.
Yes,
for us, the common man, for the forgotten man.
You got it, Jesse.
Now, Terry, I give credit to your bishop, too, because this next article, it criticizes the church leadership,
yeah,
DeMattea does.
Oh, yeah.
But I have to say that your bishop, he's a bright light amongst the bishops doing what he did yesterday.
And what he did.
My hat's off to him, Terry.
Thank you, Jesse. For those who just tuned in, what he did is he took the Blessed Sacrament up on top of a mountain to potentially 15 million people live down below and had benediction of the Blessed Sacrament. He took Jesus and blessed 15 million people, prayed the rosary up on top, and asked for healing. You know what he asked more than healing than physical, Jesse? He asked for family healing. to accept Jesus Christ into their life. That was what he said. And when you record, I recorded everything he said. When you hear what this bishop said, he is on fire for souls. And I just want to say one more thing about that. Ask your bishop to do likewise, because you're going to be able to show him the footage of Bishop David O'Connell and what he did last night here in Los Angeles and all of Southern California. I've heard people take Jesus out into the streets, you know, cars blessing people. But what he did is he went up on top of a mountain, and there's 15 million people living down below, and he takes Jesus and blesses them. This is why our next topic, Jesse, we didn't get to finish all of this here on this article, but and that is, how do we renew the domestic church with this coronavirus keeping people in? And there's just lots of good ideas. John Henry Weston had a great one, taking your family to the Blessed Sacrament and praying inside your vehicle. What? And I'll just give you one more thought. One of our listeners, James, if you're listening, he said, I'm a convert to the Catholic faith. My former Protestant churches are having services out in the parking lot. Why aren't we pushing back at all in the Catholic Church? I said, you know, you got a good point, but check out and find out what your bishop just did. He loved it when I told him that. My point is this, Jess. We can't just take it sitting down. And Dad, Mom, when we come back, we're going to give you some concrete ideas on how to take leadership for your spirituality, for your family, because so many things have been put aside. Like, for example, the sporting events, all that's gone aside. Well, we have to fill it with something. Let's don't fill it with just idle talk. Let's give them Jesus. That's what my take is. Jesus, Mary, and St. Joseph. That's what our Catholic faith is doing. And so when we come back, we will share with you some really good ideas. At the break time, tell your friends to tune in and like us on Facebook and YouTube. That's how our social media is growing. And Jesse, one last note about your book, brother. Tell us how people can get your latest book.
Yeah, it's called The Catholic Vote for Trump. I just wrote the book. Mm-hmm. I want to have an influence in the 2020 elections. You can get it from tanbooks.com, or you can go to Amazon, and they just translated it today in
Spanish.
Spanish. Good. By the way, if you've read my book, go to Amazon and write a review. Okay. Whatever you feel, you know, positive or negative, doesn't matter to me. If you read my book, go ahead and write a review. That's the way it moves higher in the food chain.
Yep. And again, when we come back, we're going to talk about the corona quarantine and the renewal of the domestic church, how these stay in place measures are really an opportunity for Catholics to renew our families and our homes. In other words, have an attitude of gratitude, but take advantage of this time with the children, because you won't have it again. Think about that. When we come back, we're going to inspire you with some concrete ideas on how to instill the Catholic faith into your family in these times that we're up against. And this is the Terry and Jesse Show, and we're honored to have you as our listener, and thank you for all your support. The Virgin Most Powerful. We've got new programmings coming out next month. Whoa, wait till you see the other ones. They're going to be fantastic. We'll be back with much more to inspire you to fall deeper in love with Jesus.
Hi, this is Jesse Romero from the Terry and Jesse Show, also from Jesus 911. Let's face it, we all need to use the internet, but we need screen accountability. Why? Pornography is a huge problem, especially on the internet. And every time we tap into the internet, we get bombarded with images and temptations that degrade our humanity. So we need Covenant Eye to block these pornographic sites and advertisements from infiltrating our lives. Covenant Eyes helps us take custody of our eyes and custody of our intellect. So I recommend you go to CovenantEyes.com and type in the promo code VMPR to support the network. Protect yourself and your family from the imminent threats on the internet. www.CovenantEyes.com, code VMPR. Live porn free. Thank you for listening to Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Thank you. God bless you. Keep the faith.
Finding the right doctor for your obstetric and gynecological needs can be difficult. Do you want a doctor with impeccable references and ethical practices? One who is trustworthy and well-researched? Dr. Aceta is that doctor. As a faithful Catholic in the Kern County community, Dr. Aceta provides expert care guided by his Catholic teachings, focusing on the patient's needs according to his own specialty. Call Dr. Acetta for all your obstetrics and gynecological needs at 661-595-5617. Again, 661-595-5617 for quality care without compromise.
This is Terry Barber. I want to thank you for your support here at Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Here's an easy way to do it. If you're going to sell or buy a house, call Real Estate for Life, 877-543-3871, because they're going to get you a Christ-centered agent to purchase your home or to sell your home. And at the close of escrow, a portion of his commission goes right back to Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Call 877-543-3871. Thank you so much for your support.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
Know your faith, live your faith,
amen.
Spread your faith in season and out of season. Terry, we want to talk about this article written, Coronavirus Quarantine and the Renewal of the Domestic Church.
Love it.
Good spiritual direction here. It says that the world's in the midst of an unprecedented health crisis. Around the world, people are staying at home. Avoid public gatherings and practicing social distancing to mitigate the effects of the novel coronavirus. Most schools are closed, and many employees now work from their homes. This imposed quarantine presents many challenges, psychological, financial, and spiritual. And with every challenge, there's also new opportunities. These stay-in-place measures give us Catholics the opportunity to renew our families and homes as domestic churches. Terry?
Well said. It's the Second Vatican Council's emphasized the dignity of Christian family in Lumen Gentium. This is a beautiful document. The council taught that holiness is found in both the family home as well as the monastery. In other words, the universal call to holiness. We're all called to be holy. The family, according to the council, is a domestic church. That's when you hear that term. That's right from the council. Where parents should, by their word and example, be the first preachers of the faith. Yes, Dad, that's you and Mom. The home is where children first learn about God by their love and example of their parents. Parents have this God-given obligation and right to educate, form their children in ways of God. The mother and the father are fundamental and irreplaceable in the education of children. Parishes, schools, and clergy assist the parents in their vocation of raising and educating children. Jesse, one comment.
Notice, just assist. They're not the primary.
Jesse, you read my mind. You know, I think after so many years, Jesse, you and I eat from the same trough, folks, and he took the words out of my mouth. You are the first teachers. Don't ever let, whether it's a parochial school or a CCD class, teach something.
Or even a good academy.
Or even a good academy. You're right. You take the bull by the horns and say, look, I am the first teacher. I want to make sure my kids get authentic Catholic teachings. And so those are my encouraging words for Mom and Dad. Go ahead, Jess.
This quarantine provides many opportunities for families. Think about this.
Mm-hmm.
The cancellation of extracurricular activities, sports.
Oh, big time.
It gives families the opportunity to be physically present together as a family, free from all those ordinary distractions. And the cancellation of public liturgies, I know it's painful. I get that.
Oh, yeah.
But it's a time for families.
That's right.
To live out more deeply their vocations as a domestic church. The Christian home should be a microcosm of the entire church. The liturgical and the sacramental life for the parish community is reflected in the family. And just as every parish has a pastor to shepherd the flock, every home has the priest. You're saying, what? Are you kidding me? Check this out. Fundamentally, a priest is a man who represents God and leads public worship and offers sacrifices to God. This is going to shock many of you.
Here it comes.
The Catholic Christian husband is a priest within his own home.
That's right.
Yep. This is Catholic teaching, Catholic theology. The husband reflects God the Father's love for humanity by his life of service to his family. And just as God forgives, heals, and sustains us, a Catholic Christian father is called to be the protector and moral leader within his own household. And fathers can exercise this priestly role within the household in the following ways. There's at least three. Number one, by praying with and for his wife and children. Number two, by ensuring that the family attends Holy Mass and that Sunday is a day of rest and worship. Number three, by lovingly and patiently guiding children towards a life of virtue. Terry?
Prayer is the glue. I love this line, Jesse. Prayer is the glue that holds the family together. Remember that old Father Peyton, the family that prays together, stays together? So I want to encourage you, obviously, the rosary, number one. But, you know, you can also hold your own Bible study, Dad. Yes, read the Word of God. You don't have to have a PhD and, you know, like my wife has a master's in biblical studies. You don't need that. Open the Bible and read it to your children, you know. And here's what else they said. Prayer is essential for the family. It's the food to the body. If you have neglected community, family prayer begins by being faithful in small acts of devotion, such as it's saying grace before meals, praying before the bedtime, or beginning the day with the morning offering. Folks, these are small seeds that will produce great spiritual fruit. You know, Jesse, I think of that now. My kids are all grown, but I think my wife and I, when we can't go to Mass, like a lot of people can't, we have an altar in our living room now. It's an actual altar that I got from a church, and I have the candles lit, ready for Mass. And I put my little iPhone up there, and we watch Mass on this little altar. Now, why do we do that? Because I'm trying to, get the most out of this time being, you know, where I got to be at my house and I can't get the daily Mass. It's the best. It's next best thing is to watch it on my phone. Now, these are small deals that we're dealing, but praying before bedtime, Mom and Dad, is so, so important, doing that examination of conscience. And think about this, Jess. Every parish has an altar, and the altar is the place of sacrifice by representing Jesus' sacrifice on the cross. I want kids to understand that. God brings reconciliation to those who are estranged by God, just as the church achieves communion by gathering around the table of the Lord's every Sunday when we have churches open. The family dinner table can be the place of dialogue, sharing, and forgiveness. Eating together as a family has many benefits. Jesse, you've given this quote before, according to the American College.
It's in my book, Prepare My Hands for Battle. Yeah.
Why don't you tell us what does the American College
of Pediatricians
have to say about families that eat together?
Here's what it says. Here's the benefits of children who regularly eat dinners with their families. Number one, they have better nutrition. Yep. They eat better. Number two, they have higher academic performance. Mm-hmm. Number three, they have less screen time.
Computer.
Number four, there's a decreased use of alcohol, tobacco, and illegal drugs in this class. And number five, they're less likely to engage in sexual behavior. And number six, they're less likely to experience mental health challenges such as depression and family by something simple as eating together.
Amazing.
This is so beneficial because it brings families together. And again, the data from the American College of Pediatricians, it shows proof positive. The science is in that eating together as a family results in healthier children and more connected parents. So this time of quarantine is a chance for families to share once again this family meal and make it a tradition, because this coronavirus pandemic that I like to call the Wuhan virus,
Wuhan, yep,
it's life-altering. And families can use this time of quarantine to cultivate habits of prayer and togetherness so that the domestic church can once again flourish. And God gives us so many opportunities in the midst of this crisis. And while families may be away from their priests and altars in the church, they can take this and seize this opportunity to make their homes and families a domestic church.
Jesse, we've got a few new shows coming up the first of the month. And I'm going to mention real quickly the one that I'm working with Matt Arnold on and with Father Chris Allar from the Marian Helpers. It's going to be on Understanding Divine Mercy. We're going to have the best people from the Marian Helpers at the Divine Mercy Stockbridge, Massachusetts Center coming on once a week to talk about the Understanding Divine Mercy. And Father Chris was on our show maybe 2 weeks ago, and we thought, well, hey, let's do it once a week. So Father Mike Gately, Father Don Calloway will be on. It's going to be great, and it's going to be helping people understand divine mercy. Jesse, you've got a new show coming out. Tell us about it.
Yeah, it's going to be a weekly show. Mm-hmm. It's going to be called Liber Christu mm-hmm. War College.
Okay.
And it's going to be essentially, you already know the players, it's Father Chad Ripperger's top instructors of healing, deliverance, and exorcism, Kyle Clement and Dan Schneider.
Mm-hmm.
Father Ripperger wants us to go deep, a show that goes deep into spiritual warfare.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to be a weekly show. It's going to be carried here on Virgin Most Powerful Radio. And you're going to hear Father Ripperger. He endorses the show. He wants us to do this. He's going to be doing the intro and the outro for the show. He's also going to be a guest once or twice a month. He's going to actually be on with us. I'll be honest with you.
Yeah, that's
we'll
weird.
Be the only network in the United States
right.
that are going to have him on as a frequent guest because, again, he's having his two right-hand men from his Liber Christu Exorcist Institute. They're going to be the primary teachers for this program, and I'm going to be the host.
Awesome. That's a great show. And we got more coming down the pipe because of you, our listener, who's supporting Virgin Most Powerful. If you'd like to become a monthly donor, because we lost about 65 monthly donors last month because of this virus, and I understand people lose jobs. They can't support us. I understand. They can still say their prayers for us. But if you are blessed with a job and you want to increase your monthly donation to help with loss, we sure would appreciate that. You've done that. You've called me. I give you my cell number. It's 661-972-7872. With all the new programs we're going to be doing, we really appreciate your support. Jesse, when we come back from the break, this is an interesting article. I've talked a little bit about it last week, but we'll go into detail. Cardinals and bishops are asking the Pope to dogmatically declare Mary's spiritual mother in the face of this pandemic. We've noticed, Jesse, over the church's history, whenever there's a major problem, I've noticed people turn to their mother. And we as a church mm-hmm. have done that. Mama Mary! That's right. And Jesse, we say we're mama's boys. And what we mean by that is we love the Blessed Virgin Mary because we know the role of Mary hasn't changed for 2,000 years. It's to bring us to her son, Jesus Christ. That's why Mariology, when you understand it properly, fits right in with Jesus Christ, because who was the first soul that brought us Jesus Christ? It was Mary. She's still bringing us to Jesus. It's Mary. And this document here that these bishops and around the country are petitioning, I think it's worth being heard here on the Virgin Most Powerful Network. You're listening to the Terry and Jesse Show. Don't forget that mental health conference this Saturday with Dr. Louis Sandoval. It's free. You just go to our streaming on YouTube Saturday from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. It'll be mental health live stream, mental illness versus demonic influence on Virgin Most Powerful. That's on the 25th of April. We'll be back with much more on the Terry and Jesse Show. This is Terry Barber. I want to thank you for supporting Virgin Most Powerful Radio. And here's an easy way to support us by going to smile.amazon.com and type in Catholic Resource Center or Virgin Most Powerful Radio. And when you log in your Amazon account and you purchase products, a portion of it will go right back in supporting Virgin Most Powerful Radio. And it doesn't cost you a dime. I want to thank you ahead of time, because that supports us year-round. May God bless you and your family.
How does the baby move in your tummy?
How does the baby eat?
Can the baby hear me?
How did the baby get in there?
Wow, a pregnancy can sure generate a lot of questions, but what's important is that a baby is a baby, inside and out of the womb, not just after birth, but 9 months before. at conception.
That's right. Every baby is a miracle. Hello, my name is Marianne Koharski. I'm the director of Pro-Life Across America. If you know someone who is pregnant or in need of alternatives or assistance or would like to support the work of Pro-Life Across America, please visit our website at prolifeacrossamerica.org or better yet, simply dial #250 on your cell phone and say the keyword pro-life. Pro-Life Across America is non-political and totally educational.
A baby's heart is beating 18 days from conception.
Pro-Life Across America, the Billboard people.
This is Terry Barber. I want to thank you for your support here at Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Here's an easy way to do it. If you're going to sell or buy a house, call Real Estate for Life, 877-543-3871, because they're going to get you a Christ-centered agent to purchase your home or to sell your home. And at the close of escrow, a portion of his commission goes right back to Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Call 877-543-3871. Thank you so much for your support.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
We're two mama's boys.
Amen.
Yep. I even wrote a book by that title,
What's the
Why
title?
I'm a Mama's
That's
Boy
right.
by Jesse Romero.
Yeah.
We want to talk about cardinals, bishops, they're asking the Holy Father
yep.
to dogmatically declare Mary spiritual mother in the face of this pandemic.
Yeah.
They're actually begging Pope Francis in an Easter letter
yeah.
to dogmatically proclaim Mary as the spiritual mother of all peoples as the world faces this historic Wuhan pandemic. And the letter states that the signatories made this same request of the Holy Father in August 2019.
Yep.
But felt that the pastoral, they felt the pastoral and moral imperative to appeal to him again as the world faces exponentially this greater disaster on a personal, social, political, economic, and humanitarian aspects because of this virus pandemic. Because we know, as Catholics, that behind all these external events, there's a spiritual battle taking place, as St. Augustine said in the first, mm-hmm. the second segment that we talked about. And the spiritual battle, more than ever, is between good and evil, light and darkness in the hearts of humanity. And that's what the bishops are telling the Holy Father, that the real battle must be fought. And what is it? Humanity is in great need of conversion and of supernatural help, which can only come from the Lord Jesus Christ and from his mother. So the two cardinals and six bishops who signed the letter, they believe that God is waiting for the church to dogmatically proclaim Mary as the, quote, spiritual mother of all peoples, close quote, in a solemn declaration of her unique cooperation with Jesus in the redemption and her consequential roles in the distribution of grace and intercession for humanity, for which he will respond with a historic new outpouring of his Holy Spirit and the eventual grace of world peace. And I'm telling you, Terry, these popes, they basically, they without a doubt, they believe what St. Charles Borromeo teaches.
Yes.
This doctrine of the church.
Yeah.
St. Charles Borromeo, he says, St. Charles Borromeo recalls, among all the other corrections that God sends, the chastisement of pestilence is usually attributed to the hand of God in a more special way.
Yeah.
St. Charles Borromeo explains this principle with the example of King David, the sinner king, to whom God gave the choice to punish David, either plague, war, or famine as a chastisement. Mm-hmm. And what did David choose? He chose plague.
Yeah.
David said, quote, as his penance, he told God, quote, it is better that I fall into the hands of God than into the hands of men.
Smart man.
Close quote. And that's why St. Charles Borromeo concludes that the plague, along with war and famine, is attributed very, very specially to the hand of God. And I think this is why these cardinals and bishops are asking the Holy Father for this new proclamation.
I want to encourage you to type in Dr. Marival. This is a Mariologist who I've known for years. As a matter of fact, Jesse probably didn't realize, Dr. Marival and my wife went to school together at USF. Did I ever tell you that,
wow,
Jess?
No. No, I never told. No,
I didn't. It was back in the 70s, so it was a few years.
Yeah, he was my professor at for Mariology in Steubenville.
Yeah, I can believe that. Well, he said this, that moreover, this dogma will recognize what he calls the three roles the church traditionally understands as integral to Mary's spiritual motherhood: mediatrix of all graces, advocate, and co-redemptrix. He said, we desperately need it. And I know many of the bishops who wrote this. It's beautiful and appropriate, added Merivale, who holds the St. John Paul II Chair of Mariology, where Jesse went to school at Franciscan University in Steubenville. And he's also a professor of Mariology at the Ave Maria University in Florida. He says there's a solid tradition that whenever the church is in crisis, it goes to Mary. So you're in good shape, Jess. He said, we need her full intercession now in a historic way. And we're not going to get it unless we acknowledge her titles. Did you hear what he just said, Jess?
Yeah,
Our Lady.
Powerful.
Yeah, that's. He said the dogma is a solemn proclamation of doctrine, and it proposes to bring a greater appreciation and clarity to that doctrine, said Merivale. You know, Jesse, this is something that I've said about the church right now. Clarity. We use this clarity with charity. This is something the church really needs right now. I can see it after 40 years of being involved in evangelization, that people need to know where they stand and not have ambiguity. And I'm going to be honest with you, Jess. I've seen a lot of ambiguity, not just on Our Lady, but on the Eucharist, on the church in general. And I think it's a good thing to really spell it out so that there's no ambiguity. I'll give you an example. Father Regis Scanlon was on talking about Mysterium Fidei, which is a document on the Holy Eucharist that my wife and I are going to be talking about on the Bible with the Barbers, okay? When we show at the end of this show, you can stay with us on our iPhone app or the website or YouTube, Bible with the Barbers. But here's what I want to say. Clarifying what we actually believe in, like in Dominus in Mysterium Fidei, teaches that we actually believe that Jesus is present, body, blood, soul, and divinity of Jesus Christ in the Eucharist. We need that. Why? Because of the de-Eucharization that's going on. So I think Dr. Merivale is making a good point. I would sign my name to that document, Jess, but I'm not in management. I'm in sales. What are your thoughts about this, Jess?
Yeah, Terry, there's something that the article doesn't say, mm-hmm. but I can kind of read between the lines. This
All
is
right.
my
yeah.
this is my police
yeah.
instincts.
Investigative,
okay?
Yeah.
I know why Dr. Merivale and these prelates, these cardinals and bishops, are once again reemphasizing that the Holy Father mm-hmm. Proclaimed Mary dogmatically with this title,
yeah,
as the mother to all of us. And I'll tell you why.
Tell us.
This is to offset the punishment of what was done by the Pachamama entire fiasco.
Wow.
Because she's the mother goddess.
Yep. In competition.
The pagans in Amazon.
Yep.
And this mother goddess pagan, which is a demon. That's what the Bible calls these false gods are demons. Because there was a compromise. There was idolatry that actually occurred in the Vatican. I'm going to make some spiritual connections here. I'm going to connect the dots.
Mm-hmm.
That consequence of that idolatry, which is the worst of the Ten Commandments, it's idolatry is worse than adultery.
Yeah,
it's worse than masturbation. It's worse than sodomy. It's the worst because it's the offense against God, which is the worst thing you can do.
Yep.
And so these bishops, without mentioning that event, they know that in order to for God's hand of justice to be removed, and for his hand of protection and blessing to fall back upon us, the highest office in the church, the Pope, they want him to dogmatically proclaim Mary the mother of all peoples. And this way, this will eradicate this idolatry that happened in the Vatican Gardens and inside the St. Peter's Basilica. This is completely to make reparation for that action. The article's not saying it. And neither are these bishops and cardinals
reading,
because,
yeah.
again, they're not going to be that confrontational. But this is precisely what it is. They're asking the Pope to make an act of reparation using the power of his keys.
One more comment about the article. We didn't say this, but it's in there, that these, like the Maronite Catholic Archbishop, their highest cardinal, he's saying that they supported the Syriac Catholics. All these Eastern Rite Catholics buy into this, okay? So this is like a universal, across the board, cardinals and bishops wanting the Holy Father to do this. And I think that that shows the centrality. And Jesse, you know, I think it was 8 million people, it said in the article, back when the Immaculate Assumption of the Blessed Mother was put together. Here it is, 1950, 8 million Catholics petitioned for the declaration of the dogma of the Assumption. And, you know, so this is done before the church. People, it's kind of like where the people stand up and say, you know, like before we had this process for canonization for sainthood, like St. Francis of Assisi, he was brought to be in a saint 4 years later, not by a process, but by the people. The people of God knew he was a saint. And then when all this petition to the see, to Rome, they said, yep, this guy's a saint. And so I think that, you know, we're putting pressure. You want to call it pressure? No, we're letting our bishops and priests know our concerns for the church. And that's something that's very important. I think they need to listen because, you know, a lot of times, Jesse, people with PhDs, I'm more scared about them than the guy that's like a grandma, the 84-year-old grandma who's a holy woman. I'd rather take my advice from that 84-year-old woman who's living the life than sometimes these theologians. That's my take, Jess.
Terry, I'm going to be honest with you. You just said something, and I've always thought this in my mind, in my own personal reflections, that heaven is going to be filled with a bunch of old lady grandmas, like you mentioned, rosary-praying, old lady pious grandmas that were not theologically formed. Oh. They didn't have any advanced degrees or primary degrees.
Right.
I believe that that number is going to, by far, it's going to outmatch or outweigh the number of theologians in heaven. That's my personal opinion, because oftentimes, as St. Paul, as the Bible says, pride enters in with a lot of studying. That's what happens. Intellectual pride. That's very dangerous.
You nailed it.
And the second thing, you know, St. Paul, there's a phrase that he uses in the book of Acts. He says, King Agrippa tells St. Paul, much studying has made you mad. In other words, you've gone insane because you study too much.
Yep.
And of course, it didn't apply to St. Paul. He was preaching the resurrected Christ that he saw face to face. But that applies to secular humanists. If all you're doing is studying secular humanist thought, that's dangerous. It leads you away from God. The last thing that the article says is Dr. Mirabella says it's part of their responsibility, the people of God, to bring this attention to the Holy Father out of respect and humility.
Amen.
Truth. To crown Our Lady as the mother of all.
Wow. Fantastic article. We can get them all going to either jesseromero.com or Virgin Most Powerful Radio. And I want to just leave you this. We got another show coming up, Bible with the Barbers. What we try to do is we take issues of the day and the Bible and show how the Bible has the answer to all of the world's problems. Isn't that interesting? The Bible has it all there. But we have to read it and we have to understand the Bible with a Catholic viewpoint. For example, the Eucharist, John 6. We're going to be talking about that very same thing about the Eucharist when we come back after this show. Jesse, what state should we be living in, brother?
Last time I checked, we got to live in a state of grace, and that's not going to change. Stay in that state, park it there, take the wheels off the car, let it just rest on the rims. Don't move from that spot. Stay in the state of grace. Never, never live in the state of mortal sin. If you're in mortal sin, get on your knees. Ask God to give you the grace to make a good act of contrition, a perfect act of contrition, and get to confession ASAP. Terry?
And don't forget, we have the spiritual communion prayer on our website, the St. Patrick prayer freight, and also Psalm 91, spiritual warfare prayers. Check us out. We got the rosary on our website, on our pod, on the app, the Divine Mercy Chaplet, all kinds of good things for you because you've helped us build Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Up next, Bible with the Barbers. We'll be talking about the Eucharist and the readings of the daily mass. We'll be back again with Bible with the Barbers. May God bless you and your family.
St. Faustina's Prayer for Priests. O my Jesus, I beg thee on behalf of the whole Church, grant it love and the light of thy Spirit, and give power to the words of priests, so that hardened hearts might be brought to repentance and return to Thee, O Lord. Lord, give us holy priests. Thou Thyself maintain them in holiness. O divine and great High Priest, may the power of Thy mercy accompany them everywhere, and protect them from the devil's traps and snares, which are continually being set for the souls of priests. May the power of thy mercy, O Lord, shatter and bring to naught all that might tarnish the sanctity of priests. For thou canst do all things. Amen. Virgin most powerful, pray for us.
Virgin Most Powerful Radio, sharing the gospel with clarity and charity.